Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 482, When Trouble Comes. Pastor Harley Kolderman delivered this message on Sunday, July 26th, 2026, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
This is the day the Lord has made. We will be glad and rejoice in it. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. So happy for the testimonies today. Just really wonderful to see the hand of God move in God's people. And to see people just receiving. So today is Healing Sunday for us here at My Father's House. And for those of you watching online, we invite you to stay tuned. I'm going to have a message, but we're also going to pray for people. We'll pray for you at the end of this message. Was really relating to Kathleen's testimony because it reminded me like 46 years ago, when I didn't know anything about anything. Pastor Karen and I had just been saved for a few years, a couple of years maybe. We grew up in the church, but we just didn't really have a relationship with Jesus. So God made a way, and He sent people across our paths to minister to us, to invite us to accept Jesus as our Savior, accept Jesus as our Lord, and got us into a small group where we saw people get their prayers answered and all of those things, and we're hungry for the things of God, and we're learning about the things of God. But some of our friends convinced us that we ought to join them on a trip to Washington, D.C. Back in those years, I think there was not so many Christians going to the mall in Washington, D.C. to praise and worship God like maybe today there's more of those things happening. But it was maybe one of the first times that happened. I think it was called America for Jesus or something like that. And so we were just like driving down the highway in a bus with some other Christian friends. And people were giving their testimonies. They took the microphone away from the driver and commandeered the microphone. And they were giving testimonies and they were worshiping God and they were praising God. And all this stuff was kind of new to us, because we didn't grow up in that kind of church, you know, where they shouted or where they gave testimonies or where they publicly testified about Jesus, prayed for each other and all of that stuff. So we were taking it all in. But as we were riding, I looked across the aisle and there was a little girl there. She was maybe 10 or 11 years old, I'm not sure, something like that. And she had really, really thick glasses. I suppose... if there was a diagnosis, she probably would have been diagnosed legally blind. But anyway, I just looked over at this little girl and I just felt really sorry for her, because I thought, she's only 11 years old and she's got a whole lifetime ahead of her, and she's got these vision issues, she's got these vision problems. And as I'm thinking about this, I heard a voice. And I'm not one that's kind of given to hearing voices, and I had heard about people that hear voices, you know, but I wasn't one of those persons. And I heard this voice, and this voice said, "Why don't you do something about it?" And I thought, now that's really strange. And I looked at Pastor Karen, and of course we weren't pastors, we were just helping people start a church then, but I looked at her and I thought, did she hear that? But she didn't look like she heard it. So I thought, well, this has just got to go away. And then I heard again this voice say, "Why don't you do something about it?" And I thought, that's really crazy. I'm really hearing voices now. Maybe something's wrong with me. And then I heard it a third time, "Why don't you do something about it?" And so I thought, what could I do about it? In fact, I don't know if I said that out loud or not, but I said it in my heart, and I said it to God, or I said it to whoever was talking to me. I said, I don't know what to do. So, but I felt like, well, maybe I should go tell the leader of this bunch. Maybe he knows what to do about this. So I went up to the front where the guy had the microphone, and I said, tapped him on the shoulder, and I said, "Hey, you know, and I just told him the story that I just told you." And he said to me, "Well, let's call the girl up, but let's ask her mother first if we can pray for her." And I said, "Oh, that's a good idea." So I went and got the mother, brought the mother up, and she brought the little girl up. And she said, we've prayed for a lot of for our kids for lots of things, but we have never prayed for her eyes to be healed. She said, I don't know why we didn't pray for her eyes to be healed. We just never, I guess, never thought about it. And so she reached over and she took the glasses off the face of the little girl and she stuck them in her sweater pocket. And so the leader looked at me and he said, okay, now you pray for her. And I said, no, I'm not praying for her. You pray for her. I came up here to you. And he said, no, no, you heard the voice. You pray for her. So he shamed me into praying for this little girl, and I thought, I don't know what to pray. And to this day, I couldn't tell you what I prayed. But I do know this, it was really short, and the little girl went down to back to her seat. The mother went back to her seat. She never gave her glasses back, and I thought, boy, I'm glad that's over with, but I don't know what happened. But the little girl that was sitting next to her was a lot smarter than the rest of us. So she said to the little girl, so you've been prayed for. I've got some books in my book bag. She pulled out her book and she said, here, read this. The little girl didn't have her glasses on, so normally she wouldn't be able to see the book, much less the words on it. And to everybody's amazement, she began to read the words in the book. She read every word correctly. And then the little girl beside her said, look at those signs down there. What does that sign say? And so she started reading all the signs on the road as we were going down the interstate. And this girl was completely healed. And I didn't know anything about anything. I didn't know, just like, you know, what's all this healing business about? I had no idea that God would do a miracle like that. I just, it just happened. Well, since then, I've seen another blind person healed in Cuba. When we were there with some doctor friends and ministering to people. But you might be asking, you know, what's all this healing business about? It's about Jesus loves you.
Amen.
It's about Jesus went to the cross for you. It's about he was wounded for your transgressions and he was bruised for your iniquities and the chastisement of your peace was placed on him. And with his stripes you were healed. That's what it's about. It's not magic, and it's not about being professional. It's not even about knowing everything. You don't have to know everything to be used of God to minister to people. You just need to be obedient. Amen. And you need to be available. So when you hear testimonies like people going out into the mall and kind of going out of their comfort zone and ministering to some people that they don't know, it's about being obedient to God, about stepping out by faith and allowing God to use you in a miraculous way, even when you don't understand everything that's going on. God wants to use his people to show his glory to the generation that we are responsible for. So that's what it's all about. So that's what the Healing Center is about. That's what raising up people to work in the Healing Center is about. We've been training people for a couple of years now so that when we actually have the building, it's not about buildings. It's actually about people being equipped to minister to other people. And so at Elizabeth's house on worship nights, people get healed, people get set free. It doesn't have to be in a church, out in the mall. You can pray for people, you can minister to people, and people will get healed out in the streets. In Cuba, we had hundreds of people healed. We had thousands of them actually come to Jesus, accept Jesus as their Lord and their Savior, as we took teams there. And so it's all about what Jesus did for you and all about what he wants to do in your life. You know, Christianity doesn't have to be dead, dull, and boring. It might have been that way in the church that you grew up in. Might have been that way in some church you attended, but it doesn't have to be that way. When you plug into the power of the Holy Spirit and into his presence and invite him to welcome him to work into and through you, your life can be an exciting life. You can have an adventure with Jesus everywhere that you go because he will open the doors for you to minister to people. He'll open the doors for you to touch their lives. He'll open the doors for you to talk to them. Sometimes you see fruit right away and miracles right away, and sometimes it's prolonged and it takes some time before people come around. But God is a good God. He's a faithful God. We sang about his faithfulness a little bit ago in one of those old songs. So we just want to encourage you to stay plugged in, stay committed, find the place where God is moving, and stay in the middle of it. So my pastor used to say, you know, people know how to find the best grocery store. Dr. Lester Sumrall, he said that. He said they find the best grocery store, and that's where they shop for their groceries. They find the best clothing store, that's where they get their clothes. And then they go to the worst church in the city that does nothing for God and doesn't even open the Bible, and that's where they stay. But anyway, people are people, and we can't be responsible for other people's decisions, but we can be responsible for what God has called us to do here. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So thank you for coming today. Thank you for welcoming us into your lives. And we're just excited about what God is doing through ordinary people to minister the gospel. So another reason about all this healing business is because, I don't know if you've noticed, but there's a lot of sickness around. There's a lot of people that have problems. And if you've noticed around Fort Wayne here, they're building hospitals on every side. I guess they must be expecting something. I guess more people to be sick, more people to have surgeries, more people to have stuff going on. So if they're expecting that, we should be prepared, really, to minister to more people. Amen. Amen. We should be equipped to do that. So the Bible says that the ministry gifts, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, the fivefold gifts, they're here to build up the body of Christ that Rivka was talking about out of 1 Corinthians 12 just a minute ago in the offering message. We're here to build up the body of Christ, but that's not the extent of it, because the full extent of it is that we're supposed to be equipping you for the work of the ministry. And if you're equipped for the work of the ministry, then everybody becomes a minister. It's not about who is at the pulpit. It's not about who leads the prayer meeting. It's not about who is a cell leader, who is a this or a that or has a title. It's about you and Jesus and you fulfilling the calling that he has on your life. And that's why we're here to equip. We're here to talk about the things of God and to open the Word of God to you. But you have to be, how should I say this? You shouldn't be lazy. You should be into the Word of God yourself. Amen. And you should be hungry and thirsty for righteousness, because the Bible says that kind of a person will be filled. Amen. So Jesus, when he walked the face of this earth, he never really sugarcoated anything. You know, he just told it like it was. He ministered to people in the power of the Holy Spirit, and he just was a straight shooter. He called a spade, and just let it go with that. If somebody didn't like it or didn't like him, it wasn't about him, about liking him. It was about the truth that was coming, that he was hearing the Father speak. In the book of Mark, the fourth chapter, he tells a parable about a sower sowing the seed. I'm not going to read any of that. You can go there and study it for yourself. But he's talking about the seed that goes into the ground, and then he begins to explain to the disciples that the devil is after the seed. And he said the seed was the Word of God. And he said the devil will use all kinds of things to try to get the seed, to get the Word of God out of you. So that should tell you how important it is to get the Word of God in you. Amen? Because you can get a miracle from God, but keeping the miracle will take your own commitment to him and your own commitment to get the Word of God in your heart, to receive and to believe and to keep your faith life up, to keep and receive what God has for you. And so he said, so when the devil comes after the word, it's like the birds coming, the seed on the path. He said, when troubles and problems come or persecutions come for the word's sake, the devil steals the seed. And then he talked about the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches and the desires of other things, choking out the seed. The devil is after the seed. He wants to get it away from you. So you have to be diligent to keep the seed watered, to keep the seed firm inside your heart, and to let it produce what God wants to produce in your life in order to really go on with the things of God. Many times, troubles and problems come in the form of sickness, which is why we're talking about a healing center and a ministry center that brings freedom and breaks the chains for people. We want to be people who are bringing the truth of God's word to the place where people can be set free and healed and delivered. And so we're so grateful for testimonies like Kathleen gave about the healings that happen in maybe not so normal places. I mean, you wouldn't expect, you know, people say, well, just do that in church. No, you do it out there in the workplace. Do it out there where people are. And let the healing power of God and the presence of God touch people's lives. So I want to read a scripture from Isaiah chapter 59 to illustrate this. But anyway, the title of my message today is When Trouble Comes. So, you know, there's trouble all around us. We live in a corrupt world. We live in a contaminated world, and trouble comes. But Isaiah 59 verse 15 says, so truth fails, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. Then the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no justice. He saw that there was no man. He wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his own arm brought salvation for him, and his own righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and the helmet of salvation on his head, and he put the garments of vengeance on for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies, the coastlands he will fully repay. Then verse 19, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. The Redeemer will come to Zion and to those who turn from transgression in Jacob, says the Lord. Now that word was to the people of Israel, the people of Judah. And that word also is to us. It's a word saying that God has redemption for his people. He has a way out for his people. And when Jesus went to the cross, he sealed the deal for people to receive in a mighty way from his hand. So you probably, most of you are familiar with the story of the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, right? You know how God sent Moses to deliver them, and you know, they're kind of stubborn people and so forth and so on. They gave Moses a bad time. And then Moses went and talked to Pharaoh, and he brought these plagues on Egypt. There were 9 of those plagues, and they all attacked the gods of Egypt, basically. Each plague was successively about one of the gods that the Egyptians worshipped. And each time, the Bible says, Pharaoh hardened his heart against against letting the people go free. Well, it says that God finally hardened his heart. So, you know, there's a place when people resist God, and they resist God, and they resist God, and they resist God, they can get to a place where there's no place to turn back. And that's where Pharaoh was. So finally, he did let the people go. But even after he let them go, the whole million or 3 million or however many there were over a million people, they were marching towards the promised land, the land that God had promised their forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they came to this place where they were facing the sea, and the Egyptian army was behind them. So they were trapped there. They were closed in. And it's like being between a rock and a hard place, because They couldn't turn back because the army was behind them, Pharaoh's army waiting to kill them, waiting to take them back, waiting to put them into slavery. They couldn't go forward because there was an ocean of water in front of them that they couldn't pass through. But Exodus chapter 14, verse 10 says that when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the people of Israel cried out to the Lord. And then they said to Moses, "Because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us out of Egypt? Is it not the word that we told you in Egypt? Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than it would be to die in the wilderness." Isn't that just so like people? God had just set them free and done marvelous miracles in front of them, and they were already grumbling and complaining and wanting to go back and complaining against the leadership because it wasn't going their way, and it looked like a desperate, helpless, hopeless situation. It's like they saw the power of God, they saw the presence of God, but they couldn't believe that He would do another miracle for them. They couldn't just come to that place to just trust leadership and trust God and say, "Well, this doesn't look good, but God is here. God is on the scene. He will help us." But this is how Moses responded to that crisis. Verse 13, it says, "And Moses said to the people, 'Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will accomplish for you this day. For the Egyptians whom you see this day, you shall not see again forever. The Lord will fight for you, and He will hold, so you shall hold your peace.'" In other words, shut up. God's going to take care of this. Verse 15 says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Why are you crying to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward, but lift up your rod and stretch your hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel will go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I indeed will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they will follow them. So I will gain honor over Pharaoh, over all of his army, his chariots, and his horsemen. Then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen." The Bible says that as the Israelites crossed through, they went through on dry land. But when the Egyptian army went through, the waters came crashing in on them. It says even that the angels took the wheels off of their chariots so that the horses couldn't pull their chariots, and they were stuck in the middle of the sea when the waters came crashing down. What a miracle of God. Yes. But just think about that if Moses had listened to the people. They would have all either died or become slaves again. How crazy can we be? But yet we as believers, we as Christians, you know, sometimes we act like God is a million miles away from us. We just like, another miracle. I need a miracle. I need help. Help me, God. Help me, God. But we don't really engage with Him to see what we should do when trouble comes. You know, Jesus said, in this world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So if the one who has overcome the world is on your side and He's come to live inside of you, you have hope that nobody else could have. Yeah, that's right. No matter how bad your problem is, your situation is, no matter what the thing is that you're facing, God is with you and He's for you and He'll fight for you. So you can really do what Moses told the Israelites to do, just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Sometimes we're our own worst enemy. You know, we're just struggling against things and we're fighting against things, but we forget about, we serve a great God. We serve that God of miracles that we were just singing about a little while ago. So I want to take a look at this scripture that we read from Isaiah, 59? Isaiah 59 before, and just take it apart just a little bit and think about what do you do when trouble comes. So verse 19 says, "When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise a standard against him. The Redeemer will come to Zion," verse 20 says, "and to those who turn from transgression in Jacob. So there's a call to repentance there, really, at the end of that in verse 20. There's a call to repentance. So one of the things that is, when trouble comes, is we need to examine our hearts. Amen. And just say, you know, okay, where am I in this situation? Is there something that I'm doing that's brought this upon me? And if it is, you know, it's time to repent. It's time to come to God and come clean and confess my sin. The Bible says that God is faithful and he's just to forgive you and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. He's not going to hold stuff against you.
That's right.
He will forgive you. He will cleanse you and he will set you free. But if it isn't something that you've done, you still have a great God, because the Bible says the Redeemer will come from Zion. He's on the move. He's always ready to help you. He's always ready to set you free. He's always ready to deliver you. So, but there's three things I want to look at in these verses. The first one is when the enemy comes. The second one is the Spirit of the Lord will raise a standard up against him. And the third one is the Redeemer will come. I want to talk about those three things. So if you're facing a problem, a situation, maybe it's a sickness, maybe it's a financial thing, maybe it's a family situation, maybe it's something that was like totally blindsided you and was beyond your control. But here's what God is saying to us today. He's saying that when the enemy comes, you know, we live in a corrupt world, we live in a fallen world, so there's no guarantees that the enemy won't come and try some stuff. Amen? You can't blame him for trying, because his time is short. The Bible says that Jesus is coming back, and the enemy knows that his time is short, and so he can't hurt God. He can't strike out and hurt God, so he's going to strike out and hurt God's people, God's children. It's just like a bully that comes after your kids. You know, he can't hurt you, so he comes after your kids. It's crazy, but it happens. And the view from our side, it's not so good, you know, because it's a big problem. I don't know about your problems, but, you know, my problem is a big problem. But your problem maybe isn't so big, but for you it's probably big. Because you have this need, you have this situation, you have this circumstance, and now what do? It's come upon you. When the enemy comes. But here's some perspective. I'm going to give you three scriptures that will give you some perspective when the enemy comes in like this. The first one is from John 15, verse 18. This is what Jesus said. He said, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. So if your problem is people, just think about this for a second. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they're going to also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things that they will do to you for my sake, because they do not know him who sent me. So what Jesus is saying here is, don't be surprised at this, because if it happened to me, it'll happen to you. But just know this, it's because they don't know him. Who's the him here? He's saying they don't know my Father. They don't know the one who sent me as the Redeemer. They don't know me, the one who God has sent to bring healing and wellness and wholeness and restoration and deliverance to people. So when these troubles come on you, if the troubles is people, just think about, maybe they just need Jesus. For sure they just need Jesus. And it can change your whole perspective about what's happening to you and how you respond to persecution and trouble. Then there's a second scripture from 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Peter says it this way. He says, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake in Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. So that's a different perspective on how to treat when persecution comes, because we serve a God who's doing something inside of us that helps us to stand in times like this. He gives us equipment, he gives us equipping, he gives us courage, he gives us boldness to say, I'm not going to be put out by this. If you just think about the Apostle Paul for a second, you know, he came to Jesus late in life. He was a persecutor of the church, and then he turned around and gave his life to Christ. And when he did that, all his troubles started, because he started getting persecuted. He started getting troubles and problems and things happening in his life. And he just was hit after one thing, after another thing, after another thing, after another thing. The devil was trying to destroy him. But just think about it. If the Apostle Paul hadn't fought through those things, we wouldn't have two-thirds of the New Testament. Because two-thirds of the New Testament were written by the Apostle Paul. All the words of encouragement that come through his writings, we wouldn't have. So how did he deal with the persecutions, the troubles, and the problems that he had? He fought back by listening to God and by preaching and ministering that into the lives of others. So when you are attacked, or when you are persecuted, or when you are maligned for your faith in Jesus, just think about, how does God want me to respond to this? Do I just cave in and just take it and get depressed? Or do I fight back by sharing the Word of God, by sharing my faith, by healing the sick and raising the dead and doing all the things that people don't expect me to do? So, one more scripture concerning this. This is from Brother James, James 1, verse 2 to 4. It says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith works patience." Now, I don't know about you, but this is really a tough one for me. Who wants to count it joy when you're getting when you're having trouble? When sickness attacks, or when there's a family problem, or when there's a financial problem, or when there's some kind of situation. Who wants to think about even joy? I want to get them back, or I want to hit back, or I want to vent my anger, or have my rant time at least, or let my wife have it. Those are natural human reactions, but James here says, count it all joy. Count it all joy. Because when you fall into those trials, it says that your faith produces patience. And then he says, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Now, we want to get to that place of being perfect and complete and lacking nothing. But who wants to go through a trial to get there? But just think, those things can work, those things in you, so that you can come to that place. Praise the Lord. So I'm not saying that God is putting this stuff on you. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus came to give you life and to give it to you abundantly. That's why he's equipping you to fight back. Praise the Lord. So the second thing that I want to talk about is the part about, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise a standard against him. So I know in the King James Version, the comma is after like a flood. It says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, comma, the Spirit of the Lord will lift a standard against him. But in the Hebrew and the Greek writings, there are no commas. There's no punctuation there. So you can put the comma anywhere that you want it. So I like to put the comma after when the enemy comes in. Yes. Comma. When the enemy comes in. So we can't stop that, right? He can come. But like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises a standard against him. So if you study that scripture out a little bit, and if you look at some different versions, it will even bear out that kind of that thought, that like a flood, God comes against the enemy on your behalf. Because that's what he wants to do. Like a flood, he's coming after the enemy. And if you look in, I think it's Strong's Concordance. I got this out of the Hebrew word I won't even try to pronounce. But it means to, when you raise up a standard, it means to make to flee away, or to put to flight, or to hide, or to lift up a standard. So, when the enemy comes in, God is on your side, and he's going to hit him like a flood. But you have to engage in faith, believing that he's going to hit him like a flood. Amen. Otherwise, the flood will be overwhelming you. So I'm talking about, these are things that we can do to fight back when the enemy comes in. In James chapter 4, verse 7, it says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Resist means that you have a part of this. You have to be engaged in this. Resistance isn't God's going to resist him for you. You have to engage and resist him. Draw near to God, the Bible says, and he will draw near to you. So draw near to God means you have to engage to draw near to him. So when these things happen, we have an out. We have a way to get out. We have a way of getting help. But it requires commitment and engagement. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. So we all want to get to the lift up part, but we don't want to go through the rest of the parts to get to the lift up part. But that's what you need to do. That's what God is giving you to do when the enemy comes in. Like a flood, he's going to raise the standard through these things that he's taking you through, and he's bringing you out the other side and lifting you up. Praise the Lord. Humility cures worldliness. If you humble yourself before God, all that stuff from the world will start to drop off you. And then the third and final thing is the Redeemer will come. This is the good news. This is the gospel. This is the great news. The Redeemer will come. Verse 20 says, the Redeemer will come to Zion, and those who turn from transgression in Jacob, says the Lord. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, it says, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, or lift you up in due time, casting all your care upon him, because he cares for you. And then it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, who resist him steadfast in faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a little while, perfect, establish, settle you, strengthen you. To him be all the glory and praise and dominion forever. That's the place that God wants to get you to. That's where he's going to when he raises that standard against him. And then a couple of final scriptures. 1 Peter 2:24. Jesus took our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live to righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. That's our hope for healing, our hope for restoration, our hope for recovery, our hope for going forward and not getting stuck in this place. And Galatians 3:13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, becoming a curse for us. For it was written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Jesus took the curse so that you don't have to endure the curse. Sickness and poverty and all the bad things that come to your family, they come under the curse of the law, because the curse came in with sin. But Jesus came to redeem us and from that curse, and to set us free from it, through the power of faith and by the promise of the Holy Spirit, we can come and we can fight back and we can come out on top. Praise the Lord. The final scripture I'm sharing with you today is from Isaiah 59, verse 21. The Bible says, "As for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with them. My spirit who is upon you and my words which I have put in my mouth, in your mouth, shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your descendants, nor from the mouth of your descendants' descendants, says the Lord, from this time and forevermore." What a great promise from God that we can generationally create goodness that passes down the line to our children and our children's children through the power of the Holy Spirit, because it has got a covenant with us. A covenant is something God will never break. And when that covenant is fulfilled in your life, you can come to the power of the Holy Spirit and receive the promise of God in your life and the promises from His Word. Praise the Lord. So, praise God. So I want to pray for those that are online right now, and then we'll dismiss them, and then we're going to have a time of prayer in here in a few minutes. In a few minutes, I'm going to make an opportunity for you to respond to the gospel. Maybe some to come to Jesus or to be filled with the Holy Spirit or to receive your healing. We'll have a time of prayer for you to invite you to that. But let's first pray for those online. So, Father, we pray for those watching us online, those that are facing trouble and problems and trials and situations. We ask you, Father, that you would touch their lives through the power of your Holy Spirit, that your anointing will destroy the yokes and lift the burdens, Father God, that you would give them peace, Father, in the midst of trouble, but not only peace in the midst of trouble, Father, that you'll bring resolution to their problems, situations, and circumstances when they come, Lord. We thank you, Father God, for hearing and answering prayer, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper because our righteousness is of you. And we thank you, Father, that the weapons of our warfare, they're not of the flesh, but mighty through you, God, to demolish strongholds. So we demolish those strongholds today. We break them off of these folks today in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
And we ask you, Lord, to bring them total freedom in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. So you can write in, you can call in, you can send us a message online. But God bless you and keep you in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. So in a few minutes, I'm going to have our prayer team come up, and we're going to all be available for you to minister. But we want to make an invitation to you today. If you have any kind of sickness, any kind of thing that you want us to pray for concerning your physical health, we're here to pray and minister to you, either lay hands on you, maybe anoint you with oil and pray for you. The oil and the hands are a point of contact for you to believe God and to trust God for your healing. Or maybe you're coming to Jesus today. Maybe you've never heard stuff like this or seen this happen in churches before. You don't want to assume anything with anybody. You know, the Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all start at the same playing field, on the same. We're all on the same field. Nobody escapes that. That's if we were born into a world of sin, and that's how we came. It says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. We have to offer you today Jesus to become your Lord and your Savior if He's not already in your life in that way. And the Bible says that if we're seeking after God, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. He's an old things have passed away and all things have become new. And the way that you receive that is by grace through faith, because it's a gift from God. It's not from works, lest anyone should boast. You can invite and allow Jesus to come into your life and really set you free and touch your heart, and touch your life, and transform your whole situation and circumstance. So we're going to make a time for you to do that, if you would like, with one of the prayer team members here. As we pray for you. Or if you have some other situations or circumstances that you want to come forward for prayer for, we're here to pray and believe God with you. So, team, if you would come up, we want to make this time open for you. Those that don't come up, you can stay back there and you can pray for those who are being ministered to. But we just want God's power and presence to touch you in a special way today, because He is the healer, He is the deliverer, He is the hope of our salvation. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
So I'm going to pray a general prayer and then just come and receive. So, Father, we just thank you, Father, for every person that's come here today. We bless them in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the power and the presence of your Spirit, Lord, to touch and heal, to deliver, Father, to touch any circumstance, Lord, whether it be in the family, whether it be in finance, whether it be in health, Lord, whether it be with regard to salvation or deliverance, Father. We're thankful and grateful for the power and the presence of your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we welcome you here to touch every heart and touch every life and just to minister in a powerful way to every person, Father God, that has any kind of a need. And we're thankful, Father, that you're a God that hears and answers prayer, Lord. Just like you healed that little girl on the bus that I talked about a little while ago, Lord, Father, you have healing, you have salvation, you have deliverance, you have blessing, Lord, for those who will come and access it, Father. And for it, we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name in advance. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, so come and get it.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.